If you have your Bibles, turn with me tonight to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. It's one of my favorite psalms in the book of Psalms. Boy, I got something on my heart. I hope I can have the energy I had this morning to be able to bring it out. Amen. I'm glad I've been in church today. I feel like I've been in church today.
Amen.
I'm talking about a real spiritual move we've had in the services today. I've been enjoying them. If you got your Bible, Psalm 92, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
I like you when you follow the scripture. The psalmist said, "But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil." I want to say something to you Baptists tonight. Don't be afraid of the word anointing.
Amen.
All it means is God sanctioned you.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Really, in a real country sense, it's God's okie dokie.
That's right.
Boy, I like it. Mine eye shall see my desire on my enemies. My ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous. Now, the theme of this psalm is coming right here in the next three verses. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Boy, catch that again. In the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. That's what I told Kim this evening. And this also applies to you, Kim, and me. They shall be flat, fat, and flourishing. Somebody said, thin's in. I say fat's where it's at. And I'm going to be honest with you. You know why thin people are so mean? It's because they always hungry. To show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. And there is no, I like this right here. And there is, and there is no unrighteousness in him.
Amen.
I'm interested in this thought about flourishing. If you were reading the context, David was talking about his enemies. And by the way, we all have enemies. But I want to tell you, the real enemy is the devil. Somebody help me preach right there.
Amen.
And tonight I want to magnify this thought. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. I want to preach on still flourishing. Still flourishing. You know what I find out in most people's lives today? Instead of flourishing, they're in survival mode. Instead of flourishing, they just going through the motions. Instead of having more faith, they have less faith. Instead of getting better, they're getting bitter. Flourishing. I want to give you three things and then I'll let you go home. No, that don't mean I'm not going to preach a long sermon. That just means I'm going to give you three things. Number one, and I'm talking about the conflict. How many of y'all know there's a real devil?
Yeah.
And let me ask you this question, this lady. How many of you realize in your life, you feel right now an opposition, an oppression from the devil? and you sense yourself being in a conflict. Come on now. I mean, you're in a conflict. You know, whether it's a physical conflict, whether it's a mental conflict, whether it's emotional conflict, you know you're in a conflict. I want to tell you what, if you're really saved, you can't be getting, you ain't going to be doing anything unless you're in a conflict. Because they that live godly shall suffer persecution. We're just in a conflict. I'll give you three things and let you go home. Verse 1 and 2, even though you're in a conflict, you can have a song in the conflict. Somebody say amen. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. I'm glad in the midst of the trials, God can give us a song. I want you to know something, friend. This really is what makes Christianity different. I want to tell you, there ain't going to be no preaching going on in heaven. And won't even be any praying going on in heaven. But they are going to be a whole lot of singing going in heaven.
Amen.
And I want you to know something. I'm glad that even right here, I want to tell you something. I'm full of joy tonight. I'm full of the Holy Ghost tonight. I want you to know something. I got joy in my life. I can't sing a lick, but there's some song in my life. Somebody say, and by the way, it's hitting the right notes too. You said, but Preacher Smith, you're not preaching reality. I'm just barely making it. You don't have to live that way.
Right.
You can flourish. And I want to say something to, I guess now they call me an old timer since I'm 65. Best compliment I've had in years. Happened on Messenger last week. And I'm not one that takes flattery well because I'm real nervous about flatterers. They make me real nervous. But because this guy was a contemporary of mine, and because we worked together in the faith, he heard me preach 2 weeks ago from sadness to gladness. And here's what he said on his text or his message. He said, a lot of older people, and I guess he was calling me that, lose their passion when they get up in their 60s and 70. He said, but Dr. Smith, you haven't lost your passion. I want you to know something. He couldn't have gave me $1,000 and made me feel any better than that. I want to tell you, I want you to know something. When I go out of this place and one of these days my end will come, I want to go out flourishing. I want to go out with a song in my heart. I want to go out with some joy in my life. Somebody help me preach right there. Hey, some of you elderly people in the room, we don't have to take a back seat. We can still flourish even in old age.
That's right. Whew.
Boy, I'm going somewhere. Just stay with me. Then verse 13, 14. Not only did he have a song in the conflict. Verse 13, 14. He had a standing in the conflict. Boy, listen to this. You want to know why I can flourish? Look. Look at verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the what? Say it, church. He shall grow like the what? I did a little study on them cedars. You ever study them things out? You really need to. And by the way, they more than one kind. I don't know if you know that or not. There's a whole bunch of them. I ain't preaching on that tonight, but they are. How many's ever seen a cedar? I'm told this over in this, where these cedars came from. Some of them went up to be 200 feet high. But listen to the secret. but they also was as deep as they were tall. If they were 200 feet tall, they were 200 feet deep and founded on a rock. See, I want to tell you why I can still flourish and you can still flourish. And this, hey, by the way, I still believe we can build a great independent Baptist church in this last day. And I believe we can reach our nation with the gospel. And I believe we can reach our community with the gospel, because God's still alive and we're planted real deep. And God's got a message for this community and this world. I'm resting on the rock. Boy, I like this next one. And he's planted like a palm tree. How many's ever seen a palm tree? Have you ever, how many's ever been down on the coast when they're having one of them tropical storms or a hurricane? Now, you ain't got a lot of sense if you stay in a hurricane, but I have before. I was in Florida and one of them things come up and I didn't have time to get out. But I did something dumb. I said, you know what? I'm going to go out and I'm going to see what's happening. So I went out on my balcony like a moron. Sit down in a chair. And all the streets were lined with palm trees. And every one of them, oh Lord, I'm about to preach. Every one of them were bowed down. You say, well, why didn't they break? I know why they didn't break. Because their little tentacles, their roots were around a rock. And once they got bowed down by the wind, that's why they're called palm trees, isn't this? Once they got bowed down by the wind, they came up and were waving to Almighty God. That's what he says about you and I. Listen to me. God saved you that you'd be like a palm tree. He gave you an ability to bow down at his direction and then rise up and give him glory. I say, church, it may be tough for you tonight. You may be facing a trial tonight, but give him glory. Lift him up tonight. You can still flourish in the middle of all this. Woo! Now I'm going to give you the rest of the message. Look at verse number 10. Not only did he have a song in the conflict, he did. And he had a standing in the conflict. He had strength in the conflict. And some of you tonight, you feel so weak. You feel like you're just about overcome. You know what's wrong? You don't have no strength. You say, preacher, why do I feel like quitting tonight? You've lost your strength. Why do I always want to bow out when it gets tough? Because you don't have any strength. Look what he says here. Boy, I like this right here. I'm trying to slow down, Jared, so I can get every nugget out tonight. Look here. Look here. Y'all still with me? Look at verse 10. But my horn shall thou exalt like a horn of a unicorn. I'm nosy preacher, okay? I can't help it. Sometimes I'll see some of my church members come in with a key ring. And I saw one in particular. I won't say who they are. But they had a unicorn on it. And it was one of them little pink horses with a horn sticking out of its head. I don't want to upset any of y'all. But there ain't no such thing. Hello. You said, then what was that? That was called a unicorn. Wasn't a pink horse. I'll tell you what it was. It was a young male ox. And here's what would happen to that male ox. Man, I'm about ready to shout right here. I got so much preaching me today, I don't know if I'm going to give it all in. But I'll tell you what happened to that male ox. He would die in the wilderness. Hello? And then when he died, let me find somebody I can pick on. Come here, you. Play dead, will you? There you go. He's dead. By the way, our strength and power comes from a Savior that died. But you know what they would do with that male ox? He had a horn, and they would lift his head up and take that horn off and fill it up with oil. Can I tell you what happened to Calvary? Man, I'm losing it right now. You know what Jesus done at Calvary? He died, but then his head was lifted up. And then after he got lifted up, guess what he did? He sent the power of the Holy Ghost to us so we can have strength in the conflict, so we don't have to fold in the conflict. So thank you, son. So we don't have to perish in the conflict. So why am I preaching right there? You said, where your strength come from anyway? From the Holy Ghost. Well, can I give you a little more? How many want just a little bit more of this? Because I think I ought to give you a little more. What do you mean that's the Holy Ghost? I'm glad Joe asked that. I'm going to prove that oil is a picture of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to picture, show you that it's where you have all your strength at. The person you're the most afraid of, the Holy Ghost, is the one that will give you all the strength to get through the conflict. Amen. Can I start? Let me just jot this down, and then you can go back and read the scriptures tonight. Leviticus 14. Let's start the thing off with that one. The cleansing of the leper. When a leper got ready to be cleansed, and they were outside the gate, they were going to be proclaimed cleansed. The priest would go out and examine them. Then you know what the priest would do then? He would go out and get two birds. Am I right? He would go out and get two birds. He would slay the one bird and drain its blood. And then he had the other bird sitting there that he dipped in that blood. And then he got what is called a log of oil. I'm going somewhere, Joe. I'm about ready to understand myself. He got a log of oil. You said, what's a log of oil? It's a pint. And he got a log of oil. And he would pour the oil on his hand. Come here. And he'd take the blood to the leper. Put some blood right there. Then he'd take some more blood. Hold on, man. Take your shoe off. Don't take your sock off. I can't take it. Then he put the last bit of blood right here. But I didn't know he done. Then he, God have mercy. Then he took the oil, put it on the right earlobe. Took the oil, put it on the right thumb. Took the oil, put it on the right big toe. Let me tell you what happened. Every place he put the blood, the oil followed.
Amen.
Somebody say amen right there. And here's what he would do with that living bird. He would put the blood on it and let it go. That shows the death, the burial, and the resurrection. That shows Jesus bearing our sins and taking our sins away.
Amen.
Woo! My Lord. How many of y'all hear me say, every place he put the blood, he put the oil.
Amen.
You know what the oil done, Lois? I'll tell you what it done. The oil sealed the transaction.
Amen.
January 31st, 1973, the blood was applied to my life. But I want to tell you that wasn't the only thing applied to my life. Because the moment I received Jesus Christ and the blood atonement of Jesus, I received the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God. And God placed his Holy Ghost in me. And I'm sealed to the day of redemption. Can't go to hell. Won't go to hell. Impossible to go to hell. Because where the blood is, the oil is.
Amen.
Woo! Y'all want some more? Well, I'm going to give you some anyhow. How many's ever read the story of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25? How many's read the story of the 10 virgins? Dear God, you don't read your Bible? If you didn't raise your hand and you never read about them, you're missing a whole bunch. All the Bible said about them is what five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. But they all were 10 virgins. And they's getting ready for the bridegroom to come up. Hello. You know what was the difference between five of them that was wise and five of them that was foolish? How many of y'all know? I know what. When the bridegroom came, the wise had, the wise had the oil. Let me illustrate some more. I'll probably give this illustration before, but it's so good I'm going to do it again. The bridegroom's coming, church. How many's ever studied the laws of the magnetic fields? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Thank you. I had to look up the word, okay? But I've done this before. I wish I was looking for a magnet this evening, couldn't find one. Because I wanted to show y'all. But just put your little brain up here. Suppose I have a big magnet. And let's suppose I put some pins, metal pins, on the table. And I put some wood matches on the table. And I get my magnet and I pass it over the wood. I want y'all all to know what's going to happen. Nothing. But I won't tell you what happened. Then you take that magnet and you put it over them pins. Yeah, anybody ever done that? I'm telling you one thing, it's marvelous. Them things get sucked up. Man, I done that one time. I had 100 pins. The whole kit and caboodle got sucked up. You said, what's that have to do with you anyhow? And the virgins. I'm glad you asked. One of these days, the bridegroom's coming.
Amen.
You know, hold it. You know why them pins got sucked up by that magnet? Because there's something in them pins that was in that magnet. And something in that magnet that was in them pins. You know why the wise virgins went up? There was something in them that was in him. And you know why the foolish didn't go up? Because there's something in there that wasn't in them that was in him. You say, what are you talking about? I'm saying when I got saved, I got all the Holy Ghost of God. And one of these days, the Holy Spirit's going out of here. But I tell you how he's going out of here. It's when I get raptured out of here. Because there's something in me that's in him. Somebody help me preach right there. You said, I just don't have strength for the conflict. All you can have. Okay. Can I go a little further? It ain't 8 o'clock yet. Just write this first Samuel 16. Just write it down. Saul had failed God. How many of y'all know Saul failed God? By the way, he got so far away from God that he went and called on witches. He failed God. And God said to Samuel, go down to the house of Jesse. And go down to the house of Jesse, and there's a king down there. Now listen, you was probably one of them first boys. You were real strong, masculine. Samuel went up and saw the strong and masculine Jared. Not him. And then he got Tim. You're not too strong and masculine, but it ain't him. And he got Joe McKay. And it ain't him. And he got Paul Spurlock, and God knows it wasn't him. And he got JC, and that wasn't him. Hello? Then he got Andrew, and it wasn't Andrew. Then he got Chad, and it wasn't Chad. Hey, you. You. I'm pointing you, rascal. You're beside JC. Come here. Go over there in the field. You're tending sheep right now. Go over and tend sheep. Take care of them, please. Thank you. You got any more? I just got a little ruddy one. That means redheaded. You know what Samuel said? Fetch him. Go get him. Bring him over here. Now I want you to know something. Here's what he brought. A little redheaded. You got a few freckles. He brought you. All them other boys had been down to the gym pumping iron. Been eating high protein. And you've been out there taking care of sheep. You know what David said? He's the man. And you know what David done? He got the oil and poured it over his head and anointed him king. Here's what David was saying, or Samuel was saying. He's God's approved one.
Amen.
He's God's appointed one. Thank you. I want to tell you what, you listen to me. There's a whole bunch of you looking for man's approval. Yes. And looking for what man can say good about you. But it don't matter what man says about you. It's what the sweet Holy Ghost says about you. And that the sweet Holy Ghost approves you. Wow, hallelujah. That's when the ordinary can do extraordinary.
Amen.
Because they've been approved of God. I guarantee you, outfit, y'all wouldn't have chose me to be no preacher. Hey, outfit, you wouldn't have chose me to preach a pastor of church. But you ain't God.
Amen.
God takes some of us little misfits, said, fetch them. And he puts his oil on them. And by the way, when you get the oil, ain't no murmurer, ain't no critic, ain't nobody can take away what God done for you. Because see, you wasn't approved by man, you were approved by God. I tell you what, we got a whole bunch of preachers today, their mama sent and daddy called, and they ain't got no God on them because they're not approved by the Holy Ghost of God. You, ladies and gentlemen, you want to make it through the conflict, you need God's approval and you need his anointing. I'm still going. Can I go just a little further? I just sense it. Oh. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For thy rod and thy staff, they do comfort me. You got that? Is that a King James Bible? Let me read that to you. And let me have it. I'm going to stay down here. I want to read that. There it is. There it is. There it is. Here it is. Psalm 23. Ooh, Lord, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I did a study on that, and I'm about ready to get real happy. You say, what do you mean by a cup? Anybody ever seen a sheep's mouth? What that shepherd would do, he'd get that water and put it in. You know, they didn't hold much water. It just went everywhere. But I'll tell you what them sheep would do. And I want to prove something to you. Those were Baptist sheep. Because here's what they would do. Come on, Jay. You again. Just stay still. No, you don't get up. I don't want you to have no leverage. Them sheep butt each other. I know they're Baptists. Preachers say, God can do great things to you. But they say, Pastor Butt. And here's what happens, Denny. Those sheep, Roger, would butt each other. And they would get an infection over their eye. And they had a little varmint. A fly would get up and lay its larva and put it in their eye. And they would swell up, Joe, till they got down and they lost their hair. And they lost their strength. But then here come the shepherd. And said, come up here, little sheep. I want to help you. Here's some water. And I got my oil. There you go. You need some too. There you go, little sheep. Been butting too much. You've been butting heads with Natalie and you can't win. Hey, here, little sheep. Before long, that little sheep was up on its legs. Before long, that little sheep had its hair back. Can I tell you tonight? Let me tell you tonight. The secret of living a Christian life tonight is to have the oil on you. It'll heal your broken heart. It'll heal your ailments. It'll take care of you when you can't carry yourself. Somebody help me right there. Amen. You know what? Let's take an examination. I'm done. Christian, I want to ask you a question. Are you flourishing? Or are you just on survival mode? When you walk out of here and you go to work tomorrow, you're flourishing. You got joy in your heart. Everybody at your job place knows you're a Christian. Or are you going to go out there tomorrow and you're going to sit around like some defeated person. And they're going to say, if that's Christianity, I don't want one bite of it. You know what you need tonight? You need a fresh touch. You need God to approve of you and anoint you. You said, preacher, I'm not doing very well in the conflict. You can't tonight. By a fresh touch from another world. Stand with me, heads bowed, and eyes closed. If you're here tonight and you say, preacher Smith, well, glory, I'm in church tonight and I can sense it. Say, preacher Smith, I know if I die tonight, the Lord's going to take me up because I've got in me what is in him. I've been saved. Raise your hand if you know you're saved. If you don't raise them. How many right now say, preacher Smith, if the Lord come tonight, I want to know I'm going to heaven. Look at me. Do you want to know you're going to heaven? How many of you are not going to heaven right now but want to go? Slip up your hand if you're not sure you're saved. Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. Back there, I see your hand. I see it. Somebody else. Ma'am, won't you just come on up here? Let's take a bite. That's right. You want to be saved. This woman wants to be saved. Now lead her to Christ. She don't want no renewal or recap. She said she's lost. Lead her to Christ. Sir, come on. I wonder how many Christians, how many other folks are here not saved, you need saved. Raise your hand. Come on, anybody else? How many Christians right now say, Preacher Smith, I know I'm saved. But I tell you what, I'm not doing too well in the conflict. I'm not flourishing too well. My Christianity is not like it used to be, Preach. I had joy in my heart. And I let some joy steal it away. How many Christians in this room, you're not flourishing in the conflict, but the devil's about got you beat down. How many raise your hand and say, pray for me? All over the house, yes. Will you do this? I'm going to pray. Will you come up here and let God touch you? Our Father, Lord, there's people here that they just barely surviving. When you want them to flourish, they're just barely surviving. God, touch them tonight. Save this dear lady. Take care of her life. And Lord, help. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you coming? Come on.